This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. Second hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. And we have a guest this hour, Butch Webb, who's with Maryland Department of Natural Resources. We're going to talk about white perch. We're going to ask if you have any questions, feel free to call 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, or WCBM 680, whichever you feel more comfortable dialing. If you're outside the local Baltimore dialing area, you may call 1-800-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680. And right now we'll go to Butch. Good morning, Butch. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, man. What have you been up to?
Not a whole lot. We've been doing a little bit of sampling out there right now for croakers and stuff. I've been helping out some other crews.
Okay. Finding any?
A few. We were down in Chop Tank the other day with some gill nets and there's a lot of small ones around.
Yeah, a lot of small croakers.
A lot of small ones.
Yeah, well, that bodes well for the next couple of years, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If they come back, that's for sure. Butch, what's your title? You have one?
I'm the Resident Species Project Leader, actually.
Resident Species
Project Leader.
Project Leader, okay.
Yeah.
Which is
yellow perch, the catfishes, and white perch. We do
We're going to have to get you back on the catfish, but we're talking about white perch. Yellow perch, white perch, and catfish, huh?
Right.
Hey, I was talking to a waterman yesterday, Southern Maryland, St. Mary's County. He's telling me that there's invasive species, snakeheads, all over the place down there, everywhere.
Right.
Are you hearing that?
That's what I hear now. We had a report the other day from a guy saying that he caught one a little further up around the Owens Creek.
Yeah.
And then we got another report, too, that they were over in Marshy Hope.
Really?
One in Marshy Hope when he was fishing for largemouth.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because I said, do you ever catch one in your crab pot? He goes, oh, yeah, one. I'm like, are you fishing the Potomac or where are you fishing? No, out in the bay. I'm like, okay. I said, I thought the salt water stopped him. Oh, no. So I'm discounting this guy the whole way, but that's okay.
Right. That's yet to be determined as to whether the salt water is going to stop them or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do they get from the Potomac to Marshy Hope?
Well, there are a couple of theories about that, whether an angler moved them or, moved them.
Oh, that'd be great.
Or,
yeah, that'd be smart. All right.
They actually did go across the bay.
Let's talk about white perch.
Okay.
All right. Very popular species, panfish. I mean, they're in all the creeks, and, that seems to be like the tidal bluegill, so to speak.
Right, right.
A lot of people like them. A lot of people eat them. A lot of people focus just on fishing for white perch. In the summertime, they are probably the species.
That they are. They're in all kinds of habitats, from shallow water all the way out.
Yep. They like to bite. I mean, they're good biters, and you can catch a bunch of them. Great for kids.
Once you find them, they're pretty easy to catch.
Yep.
Once you get on them, there's not a whole. I mean, they like a, like you said, they're bottom feeders, some bloodworms and or shrimp or little pieces of shrimp, grass shrimp or anything like that.
Yep.
Actually, some artificial lures.
Sure.
Work real nice too.
Yep. Well, tell me. Tell me about the biology of a white perch. Is it related to anything else out there?
It's related to striped bass. It's in the same family as the striped basses, the temperate basses.
Right.
Like striped bass. And,
that's its closest relative here in the bay.
That's the closest relative here in the bay, right.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just distributed from Nova Scotia to South Carolina, but they're most abundant from the Hudson River to the Chesapeake Bay.
Now, you say you're resident species, so they're not a migratory type species.
No, they don't
migrate. So once they're here, they're here, they spawn here. Do they have any similar habits to the striped bass? I mean, do they go up the rivers to spawn, obviously?
Right.
And, you know, but they come from deeper water in the bay in the wintertime to up into the rivers to spawn.
Right. They're semi-anadromous, like the members of the striped bass family, and they migrate to the tidal freshwater and slightly brackish waters in the spring to spawn.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll move back out into the bay and into, actually, as it gets colder throughout the year, they'll move back out into deeper water.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is where we concentrate in the wintertime when we do our winter trawl survey. We're doing that right off the edges of the channel.
Okay.
From the middle of the bay up into Sassafras River, Elk River.
Yep.
And places like that, when we pull our trawl in the wintertime, it gets the bigger concentrations of them.
No, they're also adaptable to freshwater. We've got them in the reservoirs.
Right,
we've got them in Liberty. We've got them in Pretty Boy. We've got them in Loch Raven. We've got massive schools of them in some of those reservoirs.
Right. You've got them in Tridelphia and Rocky Gorge and
all
of them. They're established in all of Maryland's larger reservoirs.
Where are they in Deep Creek?
I'm not really sure.
I don't think so.
I don't think they
I've never heard of white perch.
I have never heard of white perch up that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of yellow perch and walleye and
smallmouth
and stuff up that way.
Maybe that's why there's no white perch.
Right.
How is our population? What is our stock status here in Maryland? Are we in good shape on white perch or?
Right. Stock status right now is stable and it's actually increasing in a lot of areas like the Choptank, Nanticoke. They're very resilient species if they have a bad year class. Whatever they're, it doesn't take them long to rebound, and they're not overfished, according to the last assessment that was done. And
even though they're extremely popular, and you've got headboats going out of the island there, out of Kent Island, that are concentrating on white perch and croakers and spot, and every day, but they're still doing well on them, I guess.
Right, the average recreational harvest is around a little over a million pounds a year, and it's been that way from 1980 to 2012.
Really?
Right. And that's from the MRFSS, the Marine Recreational Fisheries Statistics Survey.
Okay. Well, tell us about spawn. I mean, are they more prolific than, let's say, striped bass? I mean, when you do your surveys, like your Young of the Year index, do you do a Young of the Year index on white perch as well as you do on rockfish or something similar to that?
Well, actually, they do get a Young of the Year index from that same survey, from the survey that they do with striped bass.
Okay.
The Striped Bass Project does. They do a Young of the Year index from that, too. And there for a while, it was low in the late 80s to early 90s, but it's been increasing since then.
Mm-hmm. Better spawning.
Right, better spawning.
They're
pretty prolific spawners. The female will produce between 50,000 to 150,000 eggs.
Mm-hmm. And really only two have to survive to propagate the species, but obviously many more than that do.
All right.
So when's the last time you ate one?
Last time I ate one,
yeah,
it was probably back in April.
Okay, good. Yeah, I mean that's like the harbinger of spring around here for fishermen. I mean, you got the yellow perch coming, and then you got the white perch following. That's pretty quick. So,
right,
And I've fished for him. Tackle Box Tim Sherman just emailed me, and he loves to fish for him around Fort McHenry. And we've caught some pretty good ones out there. So let's see what Tim has to say. And, of course, anybody's welcome to call and add their comments or their questions if they'd like. This is awesome. Yeah, he said, I can find out more about them. So I guess we're going to have to fill in all the blanks for Tim on yellow perch. So, they're available year-round, basically. People concentrate on that early spawning run when those big females come up and into the slower-moving rivers and things like that. And concentrate on the bigger fish. But the state record, I believe, was caught somewhere in East Baltimore, wasn't it?
I'm not sure where it was, but it was right around 2.6 pounds or something like that.
Yeah, that's a big fish.
Size fish. I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Yeah, I remember when the fish was caught. I saw it, actually.
Right.
And, yeah, and it was caught by a fellow from East Baltimore, right. That's quite a white perch.
And the oldest one that we have was 15-year-old fish that we caught out of the Nanticoke River.
Now, how do you tell how old the fish is by looking at it?
Well, sacrifice fish would cut right at about the midline of the operculum.
Mm-hmm. And count the rings.
Separate the head and pull the otoliths out of them and read them like a ring on a tree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Immerse them in some glycerin.
That's a microscopic examination?
Right.
Yeah.
And then we look underneath there. And
The otolith is like the ear bone.
It's the ear bone, right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and that's how many fish are aged. A hatchery trip right. when they were raising young shad, mm-hmm. and they were in the dye. And then they take them out of the dye, and then they put them back in like 2 days later, and then they take them back out. And that dye actually imprints the otolith when they're, you know, 2-3 days old. And when they're recaptured as adults in a shock survey or something like that, they can actually go in and pull that otolith, and they'll see that dye series that might be day 3, day 5, and day 10, let's say. So that's a 3, 5, 10 marking on that fish, and they can tell exactly when that fish was spawned and when it was released.
Right.
It's absolutely amazing to me, the science behind what you guys do.
Yeah, they put them in an oxytetracycline bath, and it actually marks the otolith itself.
Yeah.
And they do microscopic examination on them. When they go out, they do the survey on the Marshy Hope Creek with hickory shad and
right.
other species, too, when they stock them.
Sure. Amazing. Amazing. All right. Well, we're going to take a break, Butch, and we'll be right back. We want to talk a little bit more about the biology of white perch, and then you guys do conduct some surveys on those. You
right.
mentioned a couple of them. We'll get on in a little more detail. So for me to tell the folks about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. That's right. It is time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. We're right in the middle of it. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. Now, Diamond Jim is a tagged rockfish worth $10,000 through the weekend. And then on the 1st of July, if you want to wait before you go fishing, you know, you can do that. He's going to double. On the 1st of July, he goes to $20,000. He's swimming in the Chesapeake Bay. He's out there just waiting to take your bait, whether you're, you know, live line and spot, whether you're chumming, whether you're trolling. Diamond Jim is out there, and there's lots of imposter buddies swimming with him, too. They're worth $500 apiece, but there's only one. Where's that $20,000 tag? So you catch a rockfish with a bright green tag, you call that number on the tag, and you might just have captured a $10,000 or a $20,000 prize. And by the way, don't forget, July 4th is a free fishing day. You don't need a license to go fishing for white perch or striped bass or anything. So that's July 4th. Now, if you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or a crab and you certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. All you have to do is go fishing. There's more than 60 species of fish on freshwater and tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify, including white perch. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. So stop by your local fishing citation center. Check out the fishing rule book. Fish out the checking rule book, too. Or you can check out the fishing rule book or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? Hey, don't forget about Clyde Sport Shop, either. Clyde's has all the bait, as Butch mentioned already, night crawlers, blood worms, grass shrimp. If you want to go catch white perch, they've got all the bait for you, too. Little peeler crabs and all that. It will all work if you're a bait fisherman like I tend to be from time to time. They have all the artificial lures, too, for panfish, for trout, for bass, you name it. Clyde's has it. Striped bass, no problem. Rods, reels, and tackle to match the species, they've got that too. And don't forget, they've got a full line of firearms for self-defense and home protection. They've got all the sporting and hunting firearms you'd like to have too. So they've got the, you know, the 725 Satori over and under from Browning. They've got the BPS pump shotgun. They've got the handguns. They've got the rifles. They've got the muzzleloaders from Thompson Center. Complete gunsmithing services, scope mounting and bore sighting, rod and reel repair, their wind line on your reel. Clyde Sports Shop, your overall, all-time sports shop right here in Baltimore. Give them a 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne is where you'll find them, just off Beltway Exit 9, or give them a call, 410-242-6108, or you can call the fishing hotline for up-to-date fishing information at 247-3474, 247-FISH for Clyde Sports Shop, fishing hotline, and don't forget that website, clydesports.com.
For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. Fishbones has all you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report in the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573. That's 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I'm on a first name basis at the tackle shop. I got a charge account running up nonstop. They ought to give me my own parking spot. I can't fit another plug in my tackle box. It's always under construction for all my weapons of mass destruction. I got buzz baits and Zara spooks, pumpkin seeds and flukes, booyah crawfish jigs. I got a 7-foot flipping stick, all the soft plastics to hook one on a Texas rig. My wife stays on me and my banker just told me that he's working on a tax deduction for all the money I'm dropping on my weapons of mass destruction.
All right, we're back with Butch Webb, who is the, what are you, resident species project leader. Okay, gotcha. Yellow perch, white perch, catfish. All right, let's talk a little bit about some of the surveys that you conduct. You mentioned a winter trawl survey. When does that take place?
That starts in December. We normally do 1 week in December.
Right.
And then we'll pick up 5 extra weeks in January and February.
Okay.
And that survey run, like I said, it runs from 1 week in December, and then we'll go normally to about the second week of February.
Right. And you're fishing the edges of the channels with a trawl.
Right. It's a random survey. We have 24 sites set up from Rock Hall, or what, from Tallchester,
yep,
north.
Yep.
And it's randomly selected east or west of the channel and whether it's going to be a deep sight or a shallow sight.
Okay.
Deep sight being anything over 20 feet deep.
Okay.
Shallow sight being less than 20.
So what are you looking for? I mean, you're just looking for raw numbers of fish in a survey like that?
We are looking for the small white perch and small yellow perch.
Okay.
Catfish, the younger year catfish, younger year white perch and yellow perch.
Okay.
And right after we finish that survey, we'll take a week break and then we start right into our spring fight net survey where we set fight nets on the Choptank River.
Okay.
And we monitor the commercial fight net and pound nets on the Nanticoke at that same time.
Right.
From February normally until first week of May.
Right. So you work with the commercial watermen. Yeah.
Right. And we're looking then for our nets are 1-inch stretch mesh or 2-inch stretch, 1-inch bar. So we're catching the fish that are down to about 130 millimeters, which is about 4 or 4.5 inches.
Okay.
So they are the adult fish, really.
Right.
We're not going to catch any young years in that.
Okay. That's in the fight net.
For a white perch, our cutoff for the younger years is 110 millimeters.
Okay.
From aging them year after year and
sure.
We came up with a cutoff about
110 millimeters. So you just,
year, right?
Those get, yeah, those, okay. I got you.
And I say we have those, and then the striped bass does their juvenile seine survey year too, also at that, which starts, that sort of starts in June.
Okay.
June,
so,
what they're doing now.
So you're working on that one. The young of the year survey.
Well, I don't actually work with the striped bass juvenile seine survey.
Oh, okay.
We use their data.
Sure, yeah, of course. You got to do that.
Right.
1979, May 18th, 1979. 2 pounds, 10 ounces in Dundee Creek by Sid Stallings. So that was the state record white perch. And I think that's mounted on a tackle shop over in Edgemere or something. I can't remember. I think I saw it in there at one point, but that would be about the right area. That's a big white perch. No question.
Yes, it is. The
yep. So
world record was 3.1 pounds. It was called out of New Jersey.
Right. So, well, you know, like we said, it's a very popular species. It's good to eat. Not difficult to clean, easy to catch, great for kids to catch off of, you know, off the docks and the piers. And, you know, when you're out crabbing and you throw a fishing, you know, you throw the fishing rod in the boat and, you're working on a trot line and somebody's fishing. And that's probably what you're going to catch most, more than anything, is going to be some white perch out there to make the day go by a little faster. So it's a very popular fish. Tell us about the commercial market.
The commercial market is... As like I said, their landings are a little over. They've been averaging over 1 million pounds too in that same time frame from 1980 to 2012.
So recreational commercial are on par with each other.
Well, commercial's a little more. Normally, they're a little higher. 2011 they had 1.9 million pounds.
Oh, so almost double then. Okay.
And right in 2012 they had 1.8 million. Pounds.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
They're a little more. But on the average, it's, you know, a little over 1 million pounds.
Right.
From 1980 to 2012.
Okay. So this is, again, a fike net fishery. And when is the commercial season? I mean, when are the commercial guys out there, I'm seeing white perch at $2 a pound right now. You know.
Current price I got was 40 cents for the smalls and 75 cents for the culls. That was the market price. As
40 cents for the smalls and 75 for the culls?
Right.
Okay. Now that's the wholesale market, though, right?
Right. That's what the watermen get.
Get, yeah. And then you turn around and sell it to right. the dealer. The dealer turns around and sells it to whoever for, you know, this was a commercial waterman selling it. $2 a pound, which, you know, that's pretty inexpensive fish when you compare it to striped bass, which runs anywhere from right now $6 to $20 a pound, depending on where you buy it, you know.
Right. So. Right. Now, earlier in the spring when the supply is not quite there yet for the fight net, early in the fight net season, they'll get a lot more. They'll get anywhere between 80 for the smaller ones and $1.25 for the culls.
Okay, so what do you call a small and what do you call a call?
The smaller ones are 8.5 and below.
Okay.
8.5 to 8. And then the larger ones would be the 9-inch, 9.5, 10-inch fish and up to 11.5, 12. We saw some really pretty fish on the Gunpowder and Bush River this past spring when we were out sampling yellow perch with the commercial guys there.
Okay.
They were really pretty fish.
Yeah, so you're saying really large.
Right there. 11.5, 12-inch fish.
That's nice fish. That's good, yeah. Eating-sized fish.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, 8.5-inch white perch is hard for me to clean a bunch of them. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, a lot of people like to scale them, cut the heads off, and pan fry them whole.
Yep.
So they don't, exactly. They don't mind the small ones.
Yep. And that's a good way to eat them. How do you eat them?
I fillet them.
Do you?
If they're big enough, then I go ahead and fillet them out.
Mm-hmm. I got you. How do you fix them?
They're my favorite, actually. I prefer them over striped bass myself.
They're a very sweet fish, no question about it. How do you fix them?
I'm from Louisiana, so I fix them I roll them in yellow mustard, French's mustard.
Mm-hmm.
Take them and then put some yellow mustard, some hot sauce in there, and maybe a little bit of half and half to kind of cut the mustard a little bit, and then roll them in some House of Archery's seafood breader with Cajun seasoning in it and deep fry them.
I'm coming to your house. All right, hang on there, Butch. We've got to take another break. Hey, summer's time for picnics and yellow perch rolled in mustard and half and half and seafood seasoning. Family get-togethers and camping trips. Summer's corn on the cob, steamed crabs, and fresh tomatoes. Summer is cold, juicy melons. Schillinger family at Papa John's Farm, they like to steam their crabs with their corn on the cob for a great family dinner. And the way that works is you put your crabs in your steamer, you layer crabs, a layer of seasoning, layer of crabs, layer of seasoning, and then a dozen ears of corn or so on top, and put your crab seasoning right on there, put the lid on, and steam them babies. Oh, man. Oh, hot corn with crab spice. Oh, slab of butter on there, man. You can't get any better than that. Well, if you like corn on the cob and you like your time outdoors with great taste and food, I recommend Schillinger's Papa John's Farm in Severn. At their enormous produce barn, their own tasty, super sweet corn and homegrown tomatoes are ready to go. They're open just in time for the 4th. There's squash and zucchini, peppers and onions, green beans, cucumbers, mouthwatering cantaloupes, and sweet, juicy watermelons. Too. Papa John's Farm, located just off I-97 at exit 12, 8065 New Cut Road in Severn. Give them a call ahead of time if you want a big old batch of corn on the cob for a family get-together on the 4th of July or, you know, family reunion. Call them up and tell them, hey, I need 10 dozen. Well, they'll get them for you. 410-969-8810. Papa John's is open every day, Monday to Saturday from 9 to 7, Sunday 9 to 6. That phone number again, 410-969-8810. Man, my mouth is watering right now for a homegrown tomato sandwich. Best sandwich I ever ate. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown, homemade bread, and homemade butter. It was deer hunting, and my buddy's grandma made us big old red and yellow tomato sandwiches. Oh, I can't. I'm wandering here. I'm inviting you to to visit Schillinger's Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just up Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Marcy Norton. Morton. Professionals know LinkedIn is a great resource for networking, but when you don't have a job, it's hard to know how to describe your situation in that headline field. Recruiters warn that broadcasting your joblessness can just sound desperate. Instead, one expert recommends writing a line that says what you've worked on and who you've helped. It might also help to list some previous clients or projects you've worked on to give recruiters an idea of the work you've accomplished. Unemployed job seekers can use the summary field to say more about their top career accomplishments. Avoid vague platitudes about yourself that don't offer specific examples about your experience, and sprinkle in keywords that appear in the job descriptions you're interested in. When it comes to work experience, stick to a simple explanation like, "job ended due to company downsizing." Another warning, never talk about yourself in the third person. A summary starting with, "Bill is an aggressive self-starter," might make a recruiter cringe. This is the Wall Street Journal report.
Marsha had her grandmother's candy recipe and a dream to turn this tasty treat into a thriving business. And Web.com helped make her dream a reality. Marsha had her website professionally built for free by the experts at Web.com. And Web.com promoted it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing.
Web.com opened up the world, the nation. They're all my customers now.
Get your website built for free. If after 30 days you're happy with your new website, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for just one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing. Call now to get your new site up and running in as little as 7 days. Free. 855-731-SITE. 855-731-SITE. 855-731-7483. Or go to web.com/radio. There is no upfront charge for building the website, after which the ongoing fee applies. Rights to the website are relinquished upon cancellation unless otherwise purchased.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
With us. We're talking about Maryland Department of Natural Resources. We're talking about white perch. Hey, Butch.
Yes.
What's the difference between a white perch and a blackback perch?
None.
What?
they called, when we were doing the headboat survey down in Chrisfield.
Yeah.
One of the anglers pulled in a big white perch.
And yep.
The captain goes, "Oh, we call those blackback perch."
Right.
He said, "White perch. Down there, they call white perch. They call a silver perch a white perch,
right?
Which is completely different."
But there is a silver perch.
There is a silver perch.
They're two different species.
Two different species. This is the silver perch are done. Like they can tolerate higher salinities. They're down there around Chrisfield, Tangier Sound, down that way. They call them Prince William perch too down that way. I don't know if you ever heard of those.
What do they call them?
They call Prince William perch.
Okay.
That's what they call silver perch down there. But they call a white perch down there a blackback perch.
Right. Yep. Okay.
We didn't have white perch down in Louisiana. A white perch in Louisiana was either a white or a black crappie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Crappies have so many names across the country. I mean, you've got crappie, crappy, speck.
Right.
You've got in New Jersey, they call them calico bass.
Yeah.
So
in Louisiana, we call them sockeye.
Sockeye, yes, sockeye. That's right. I forgot about that. So you've got we've got blackback perch that are actually white perch, but we do have silver perch.
Right.
And the reason I know we have silver perch is because our buddy who works for the MVA, the spokesman for the MVA, Charlie Gishler, sent me a picture and said, "What is this?" And the silver perch can be distinguished from the white perch because it has, I believe, it has yellow on the fins. Is that right?
Right. It does.
Yeah. And, I mean, he had two fish that were identical size. They looked almost identical except for the difference in the fins. A little different shape to, I think, the head maybe or the face.
Different shape. too.
Yeah, yeah. And it made a little rounder, maybe, if I remember. This is months ago. I'm trying to remember the picture. But, yeah, and he said, what is this? We caught a couple of these while we were white perch fishing, and they are silver perch. Are they similar family, silver perch?
No, they're more in the drum family.
More of a drum than a perch.
Right.
Okay. As are croakers, as are red drum, as are black drum.
Right, right.
Okay. Gotcha. Very good. Tell me a little bit about the effects of salinity on white perch.
They're pretty salinity tolerant.
Yeah.
Up to probably, I would say, 14 to 15 parts. They can tolerate.
That's pretty high.
It's salinity, right.
Yeah, that's pretty high. So, I mean, okay, so they're anywhere. I mean, we mentioned they're...
Right, they're throughout the bay.
Yeah, any place that you find them, I mean, any place that you find anything, you're going to find white perch.
In the bay, yes.
Yes, in the bay and the rivers and the reservoirs,
right.
and that
reservoirs
type of thing.
And everywhere,
no.
Right.
You're going to have to email me that recipe, by the way. I'm going to
okay.
have to try that. Yeah, just, you know, how you fix it. And
That's the way they do their... A lot of their catfish down there, too.
Do they really? Yellow mustard, yeah. Cut with a little half and half.
Right.
A little Tabasco sauce.
A little Tabasco sauce in it, and then roll it in. You can use House of Autry seafood breader with some Cajun seasoning added to it.
Oh, man.
Deep fry them.
Deep fry them.
Right.
There
you go.
Okay. My mouth's getting happy now. All right. So... You know, we've hit the commercial market a little bit. You know, the almost 2 million pounds per year the last couple of years. Recreational anglers, 1 million pounds. I mean, when you're talking about a fish that doesn't weigh a pound, you know, most of them are half pound or less, something like that.
Right.
That's a lot of fish, isn't it? Numbers-wise.
Numbers-wise, they're 2012, the MRFSS had the recreational fishery at 728,000 pounds. That was 1.4 million fish.
1.4 million. 728,000 pounds
there,
is 1.
Anywhere between 9 to 8 ounces to a pound apiece.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you. But they are the ultimate panfish is what we're talking about.
That they are.
Yeah, the ultimate panfish. Okay.
Okay.
Let's see. Where do we want to go from here? Tackle.
Okay.
Tackle. I mean,
right.
We've caught them on spinning. We've caught them on, you know, top and bottom rigs. We caught them on tandem rigs. You mentioned artificial lures. They love those little minnow imitations. Anything that looks like a little minnow, they'll love it. Right. You know, we caught them on the little plastic minnows. I can't remember who makes them, but they were like a little finesse fish. Same people that make sluggo. We caught them on those, and they like structure too. They don't mind being around rocks and bridge pilings and things like that.
Right, like some of the best. They're catching some decent white perch now down there off the Bill Burton Fishing Pier down in Cambridge.
Yep, I fished
right
for them
around the bridge pilings down that way.
Yep, I fished for them. And what about time of day? Do you notice any time of day or any tidal influence on them?
I imagine the tide has a lot to do with whether or not they're going to be biting or not.
Yeah, yeah. As with anything,
but then again, you have to go when you can go.
Exactly. Well,
one of my favorite lures is a little small 8 ounce rattle trap.
Really?
Right. You take that little. It's a little small sinking rattle trap, eighth of an ounce.
Yeah.
Run those along the edge of the bridge pilings and along the edges of the pier. Porch and stuff like that. They catch pretty well.
Okay. All right. That sounds like a plan. I'll try that. A little 8 ounce rattle trap, little 8 ounce rattling lipless
right.
crankbait. You like the
diamond dust.
Huh?
The one I have here in my hand is called, it has diamond dust is what it's called. It's got sparkly kind of a
sparkly
color pattern on it.
All right. Well, anything shiny basically, right?
Right.
That's what they like. I'm sure our buddy Kirk is listening. He would probably tell you that a little tiny Tony Aceta would be the best
right.
bait for that, too. So any little spoon, any little lure, any little thing that imitates a minnow is what's going to catch them. Light line is nice. Of course, you're around the bridge pilings and stuff. You might want to try a little line that's a little more abrasive resistance. I don't know if you use braid or if you use mono or what you use, but... You know, you can rub up against the barnacles. You can rub up against the you know, the rebar and everything else that's under there. So you just got to, you know, take into consideration that you're going to lose some lures, you're going to lose some bait, you're going to lose some rigs if you're going to fish around the bridge pilings like that, for the most part. So plan your day accordingly and take some extra stuff. And one of the things, one of the main things that you can do to help yourself with that is to retie your line frequently. If you're rubbing up against barnacles and things like that, you're not noticing that you're shredding your line. And, you know, you may hook a good-sized fish and all of a sudden your line pops and something that you could have prevented by losing your lure, losing your line, losing your hooks, losing your fish by retying your line. Take, you know, cut 3 feet of line off and roll it up and put it in your pocket and take it home with you and dispose of it properly. But, you know, retie pretty often when you're fishing that kind of structure.
All right.
Make sense?
Right.
Yep.
And then in the springtime, they're using, when that spawner, during that spawning run, most people are using grass shrimp or...
Yeah, if you can get them.
Suspended below a bobber where it's moving downstream with the flow of the current.
Yep.
Picking them up as they...
I'll tell you, fishing off that Bill Burton Pier, just from anecdotal experience of my own personal experience, just fishing with night crawlers on the top and bottom rig, or just on a single hook rig with a, you know, just a dropper weight on the bottom, just a, you know, weight on the bottom, go up and run your leader off. It doesn't have to be anything extensive. Just go up 18 inches from your weight and, you know, put a snelled hook on if you want, or just tie one on a leader and get it out there a little bit and, you know, not to tangle with your weight. Piece of night crawler is probably the simplest thing and probably just as successful as bloodworms or any of the more expensive baits.
Probably, yeah.
You know?
Bloodworms are getting up there.
A little bit, yeah, just a little bit. So, you know, it is what it is, but that's...
down there off Bill Burton Pier right now, they're catching some hardheads out, or croakers.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Really?
Catching croakers and white perch down there right now.
I may have to get down there this week. So, may just have to do that. So, hey, Butch, let me take one more little break here, and we'll come back and finish it out. And it did go fast, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Yeah? All right. Hold on a minute.
All right.
It is time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. Diamond Jim is a tagged rockfish worth up to $10,000. Well, he's worth $10,000, at least today and tomorrow and Monday. And then he's worth $20,000. That's right. How is that working? Isn't today the 29th? 30 days has September, April, June. Oh, we got the 30th of June. Yeah, I forgot. I was trying to figure 31 days, but... I was in the wrong month. So, okay. So, we got 30 days in June. So, today and tomorrow, Diamond Jim is worth $10,000. But if you wait till Monday and go and catch Diamond Jim, then he's worth $20,000. Right, Pat? Right. He's got his headphones on. Apparently. He doesn't know. He's not paying attention to me. He's just a producer. Why should I worry about that? But anyway... On Monday, Diamond Jim will be worth $20,000. So, you know, if you can hold off, but hey, I'll take the 10 grand if I catch him this weekend, that's for sure. And don't forget, if you catch a rockfish with a bright green spaghetti tag hanging out his belly, that could be Diamond Jim, or it could be an imposter, and even the imposters are worth $500. So just go fishing, have a good time, catch one. And if you don't catch one, you can have a good time catching non-Diamond Jim imposters and non-Diamond Jim, you know, posers. So you catch, but call that number on the tag. Don't take that tag out of the fish. So, and if you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation size fish, and we'll ask Butch when we get back what a citation is for white perch. And you can, you know, enter that in the Maryland Fishing Challenge, or even a crab 9 inches point to point. You certify that, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater and tidal rivers in Chesapeake Bay and on the Atlantic coast that qualify. You can win great prizes, like the grand prize boat motor and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center. Prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network, a great vacation, and Under Armour. So stop by your local fishing citation center, check your fishing rule book, or go online to www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
But I'll take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get about all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones, and mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade, sitting in the shade.
Well, all right, we're back with Butch Webb, who is the resident species project leader for Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service. And let's see, we got an email here. Hey, Butch. Butch, hello?
Hello.
Yeah. Hey, we got a we got an email here. It says he's out weeding the garden while listening to the show. You and Butch are making me hungry. You are noted, by the way, from somebody who knows you as being one of the best fish chefs in fisheries.
I bet I know who that is.
Do you? You think maybe you know who that is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you nervous now that the boss is listening?
Not really.
No, he's a good guy. Hey, one thing we forgot to cover just briefly here, and that's spring spawning run.
Right.
We've talked about this with, you know, yellow perch with Paul and some other things. Mm-hmm. But length of daylight and water temperature are the two keys?
Right.
Okay, so that's usually in March, and it's usually after the yellow perch spawn. Is that correct, or it starts?
That's correct.
Okay,
it'll start. Well, actually, throughout the year. I mean, when we first started doing our fighting net stuff on the chop tank, you could definitely see a definite peak in the white perch run, or, you know,
right.
So when it first started,
yeah.
Now it's more, seems to be more protracted. Now it's an extended spawning period where they're. You know, they don't release all their eggs at one time when they spawn. Anyway,
kind of like a whitetail rut that goes for
right.
a month rather than that week. Yeah.
Right. Ovulation may go over a period of 10 to 21 days, something like that.
Right.
They might, you know, like I said, they don't release all their eggs at one time. So
right.
maybe a protracted spawn where they release some, and if they have some disturbance in the weather pattern or something, they'll finish up. The next week or when the water temperatures come back up again.
Yeah, we've always heard, you know, boy, it really got cold, pushed those perch back down. I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily it, but, you know, water temperature is, I think, a key factor, and as is, you know, late...
Photo period,
that's what I was grasping for. Yeah, okay, cool. So, very good. So what would you recommend for anglers this time of year? Where I mean, you mentioned the Bill Burton Fishing Pier that goes across the Route 50 there, the Chop Tank River.
Right.
Any other hot spots in and around the region?
Shoreline or boat?
Both. A couple. Both. Give me three spots on the shoreline and three spots in, you know.
All right. For boat, anywhere. Hackett's Bar.
Yep.
7 foot Knoll.
Yep.
Thomas Point.
Yep.
Places like that.
Yep.
From the shore of Bill Burton Fishing Pier.
Yep.
Of course, I stop sometimes in the morning on my way to work and cast that rattle trap underneath the bridge pilings there at Kenton Arrows.
Kenton Arrows, yep.
Right, and you have a chance of picking up a rockfish while you're there, too.
Sure, sure. That's a nice little place under there. Not extremely popular, but not extremely crowded, but right under the bridge there, on the right under the bridge, actually, the Kenton Arrows Bridge. So,
right.
Yeah, good little place to fish. Nice little pier there, too.
And then any private docks or piers,
they
can get permission to go out on, fish around the bridge, the piling.
What about like Roman Coke or Mattapique or something like that?
The Mattapique Pier, actually, you can, years ago, we used to catch pretty good right there with the rattle trap.
Yeah.
Across the mouth of the cut.
Right.
But they came in and put in that new bulkhead around there that runs the thing. It used to be an old wooden one where the water would flow underneath.
Underneath, I remember
And then algae would build up on the side, and it would just get loaded with grass shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
And striped bass and the white perch would hang around those pilings pretty heavy. I haven't tried it since they put in the new bulkhead.
Right.
I mean, imagine it's a little different. Now
sure.
They have, I think you could probably still catch a few there off of the...
Okay.
Off the pier there, catching, if you cast parallel to the to the pilings and bring it back down along the edge of it.
Okay. So, again, we're relating to structure with these fish. So.
Right, you're related to structure with those.
Yep, and, of course, the headboats go out, and they have certain oyster bars. Like you mentioned, 7 foot Knoll. I mean, you got a bottom out there on 7 foot Knoll that's just up and down, up and down, up and down, and those fish getting those little hollows between those lumps, and you got to find the right spot out there, that's for sure.
Right.
So, very good.
Hackett's and Thomas Point.
Yep.
Same, and you got, this time of year, you have a chance of picking up some croakers and...
Sure.
Bye.
All right, Butch. Hey, look, we're gonna thank you for your time today. We're gonna let you go, don't forget to email me that recipe.
I will email you.
Can't wait for that one. So, we appreciate your time today talking about white perch, and we look forward to seeing you this rabbit season.
All right, we'll see.
All right, buddy. Thanks,
all right.
Butch.
All right, thank
bye-bye.
You.
There he goes. Butch Webb, Maryland Department of Natural Resources. Good rabbit hunter too. I've hunted rabbits with Butch on several occasions, and. He's a good shot and loves to hunt, that's for sure. And I like Butch. He's a good guy. And apparently he's a good cook, too. Hey, let me remind you one more time about Clyde's Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. If you need it for fishing or hunting,